Good morning. My name is Ray Fasano. I'm attorney for petitioner Yi Tu Lian. On July 2002, the immigration judge heard a hearing that was solely on the issue of whether or not Mr. Lian would be tortured if he returned to the People's Republic of China. The judge found that he had not satisfied his burden of proof, which was he had to prove that it would be more likely than not that he would be tortured should he be repatriated. The board heard the appeal.
Well, what I don't understand about this, what I understand is, so Lian goes and gets a passport so he can leave the country. Now, suppose he goes around the world looking for places to that he'd rather live in than China, but he can't find any, so he goes back to China. Now, how did the Chinese authorities know that he was trying to emigrate illegally? All they know is someone who they gave a passport to, traveled around for a while and came back, lost his passport. Well, people do lose their passports. Presumably China has a record of people it issues passports to. So why would he be in any danger? Now, apparently the Chinese government does discover these illegal immigration efforts, but I don't understand how they discover them.
Two things, Your Honor. That was the concern of the immigration judge. One, Mr. Lian testified at his hearing that if I was repatriated, I would return with nothing. And I think he said it, I would return without anything. Now, he would also be repatriated pursuant to the United States government having to get cooperation from the Chinese embassy to obtain a travel document. Because Mr. Lian has a fear of going back to China, and let's not forget, he didn't want to leave. He was only 18 years old when his father made the arrangements for him to leave China. His father
knows. My question is different. How does China know when he comes back? How does China know that he was trying to get into the United States?
Is it the official contact from the U.S. government, you're saying? So when the Department of Homeland Security or whoever it is who does this now contacts the Chinese government and says, we are forcibly sending one of your citizens back to you, is that
yes.
A red flag?
Thank you, Judge.
Well, why would they say that?
Exactly.
Why would
point.
They say that? Why wouldn't they just say, this man, Lian, has lost his passport, but he says he's Chinese, and we're sending him back.
Respectfully, Judge, what would happen is Mr. Lian would be put in detention. Deportation has to contact the Chinese embassy, who arranges an interview with Mr. Lian in a detention facility, and they have to obtain a travel document. That is how the Chinese...
Uh-huh, that's how they do it.
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
Right, so now, they would know. Okay.
Right. Now, one point I want to make, and it's something that, yeah, curiously, the government... in their brief, and I say this respectfully to the government, why they made no mention to the background material I submitted in this case. I submitted 150 pages of background material, tab A through O. I cite every single one of my background materials to this court to explain why Ms. Lian can show that it would be more likely than not that, number one, if he's repatriated, he's going to face some form of detention, administrative detention. In administrative detention.
Is there a time limit on administrative detention? It
Thank
sounds
you.
Very fuzzy.
Your Honor, there is not. And my concern, it's in a profile, it's in a 1999 country report, which unfortunately is not erected here. But the administrative procedure law in China is not subject to any judicial oversight.
Right.
The government wanted to make, wanted to emphasize the fact that only smugglers are the ones that are prosecuted. I would respectfully submit that if Mr. Lian were prosecuted, he'd be in a better position than being in administrative detention because, A, there are limits on it.
But granted uncertainty, how can we say it's more likely than not that he would be tortured?
Because
maybe there's a 20% probability, but surely they have many thousands of these people coming back. I'm sure they don't torture all of them. I mean, that would be a little bizarre.
Your Honor, it's how we define torture. And under 8 CFR 208.18 large A4, it says under the second element, the administration or application or threatened administration or application of mind-altering substances or other procedures calculated to disrupt profoundly the sentence or personality of that person. Government admits, which I would respect.
Government admits what?
That Mr. Lian is going to be subject to re-education through labor. And what is re-education through labor? By its mere definition, the plain reading of it is brainwashing. Mr. Leanne and the State Department found in their report, which the government cited in their brief, that Mr. Leanne is going to be taught, retaught, and re-educated about the illness.
I mean, it sounds bizarre, of course. I don't think re-education by labor is torture per se. I mean, what do we do in our prisons, right? We're trying to re-educate the...
I anticipated that question, Judge Posner. I'm glad you asked it, because Mr. Leanne sought all the opportunities that are available to him in the United States, which I would submit, Judge Posner, is a faith-saving gesture on a part of the Chinese government to re-educate people, because look what Mr. Leanne did. He violates United States immigration laws to enter here, and admittedly he came here to seek economic opportunities. He admits that. How does that look to the Chinese government, that on an international level, Mr. Leanne has to be forcibly repatriated back to China? Of course he's going to face re-education. And the government cited four...
Yes, no, my question was, why is re-education per se torture?
Because it seeks to change a person's...
Well, I know, that's what I said. That's what we do in our prisons. We try to change the people's outlook.
On the rehabilitative aspect of it, it's not necessarily a bad thing. However...
Well, I'm sure Chinese think of that as rehabilitation also.
Well,
torture usually refers to methods rather than objectives.
Well,
so are they really going to waste chemical substances on this kid? I don't understand.
Well, they're going to do it for at least... Well, the State Department says that they are, in fact, going to educate him. But my concern is this, Your Honor.
Are they going to torture him?
Yes.
And how are they going to do it? Are they going to beat him or what?
I would submit it would be the prison conditions themselves. Now,
what about the prison conditions themselves?
Okay, the board precedent under matter of JE dictates to us that if the government doesn't deliberately create these poor prison conditions, well, that is not necessarily torture. That's what JE tells us. However, my background materials, which, Your Honor, I did cite extensively in my brief, do show that the Chinese government does create these prison conditions that rise to the level of being torture.
Give an example of one of the prison conditions that's bad enough to constitute torture.
Well, there are cell bosses in each prison. And what Chinese officials do, in particularly in Laogai, which are these re-education through labor camps, 38 of which exist in Fujian province alone. What happens in these facilities are that a person is subject to the whim and caprice of the administrator, and also the administrator who appoints arbitrarily in the back, and I think it was a tab D of my background materials before the IJ. But what it showed was that a person is subject to cell beating. They're subject to, I would argue, the re-education for labor is the torture, but it's the actual prison conditions, the lack of food, lack of water, the unsanitary conditions that are created there, and I would respectfully argue that they're created there for a purpose, as Judge Posner says, to re-educate this person, to tell them what you did was a bad thing. Exactly the same way we have prison conditions here. I wouldn't argue that I would want to go on vacation in a local prison in my state, but the conditions are bad. They're not intentionally created to be bad conditions here. That's just the way they are. But I would respectfully submit, and I do cite it in my brief, that the conditions are created in China to create an atmosphere of torture.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Pisano. Pisano, sorry. Mr. O'Connor?
May it please the Court, I am Blair O'Connor, and I represent John Ashcroft in this matter. Your Honors, the government requests this petition for review be denied because the immigration judge provided specific cogent reasons for it.
Yeah, but one of his reasons is really bad, and that's the idea that this is a minor?
The reason for that, Your Honor, was because two of the reports submitted by petitioner did suggest that with respect to minors, they were exempted from any reprisal.
But he's not a minor.
Well, the evidence is unclear on the record whether or not
he was. Well, if the evidence is unclear, how can the IJ draw the inference that he's a minor?
because the evidence did not, he did not demonstrate conclusively that he was not a minor. I mean, there was one statement report.
Well, why don't you look up the Chinese criminal code and see whether he's a minor or not?
Well, one of the State Department reports, Your Honor, did indicate that the age of marriage is required to be 22, and that was the only
evidence. What does that have to do with the age of criminal liability? Look, you can, in there are states in the United States where you can marry at 14. That doesn't mean you're an adult.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, similarly, if you can't marry until you're 22, it doesn't mean you're a child till then.
Yes, Your Honor.
Doesn't the Department of Homeland Security have access to the laws of foreign countries?
I don't know the answer.
No, of course not, right? That'd be ridiculous to ask an immigration judge to actually know what the law of a foreign country was.
Yes, Your Honor.
That would be totally unreasonable. And the Justice Department can't be required to, expected to know law of a foreign country.
It's not in this record, Your Honor.
Well, in fact, the age of, as I understand it, the adult age for criminal liability in China is 16.
Okay, Your Honor. Again, Your Honor, then that was only a small part.
The immigration judge was wrong, and, you know, no inferences whatsoever could be drawn about the risk that Leon would be subjected to torture on that basis.
Yes, Your Honor. That is the case, Your Honor. That was only a small.
Why are you defending this decision?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Why are you defending this decision?
Because the aspect of the minor was only a small part of
the decision. How do we know how much weight the immigration judge put on it?
It was only mentioned briefly in his opinion, Your Honor. Much of his opinion discussed the fact that
most of the time you're defending utterly perfunctory comments by IJs as, you know, considered reflections on the record. So why is the brevity of this kind of, why does that show that he thought it was peripheral?
Because much of his other parts of his decision, Your Honor, goes to the fact
it's so ridiculous. Court notes the respondent is still a young man and it is unlikely that he would be, in fact, tortured if he were returned to China. At most, the respondent may be fined.
Well, that,
what's
again,
the basis for that?
The basis for that, Your Honor, is that there were State Department reports admitted that showed that for the vast majority of illegal immigrants who returned to China, all they did receive were fines, and that for first-time offenders, they were not detained. That was indicated in a report from the State Department on the treatment of returnees to the Fujian province, which was the petitioner's province in China, and that's at page 363 of the administrative record.
But in that context, he didn't really deal with a lot of the evidence that was put forth by Leon in terms of prison conditions and all that kind of thing. The IJ didn't go down those reports or talk about them in any way, did he?
His decision does not, you know,
in fact, his decision is 99% concerned with completely irrelevant issues. I think the only thing he cited with regard to this question of, you know, how many people actually get tortured, he says the government has indicated as well that the country reports has indicated that minors have been exempt from reprisal. Now, isn't that the only reference that the judge made to the likelihood of his being tortured? Is there anything else in his opinion about the likelihood of torture?
He did again talk about the fact that the petitioner failed to show evidence that he would in fact be detained. Again, he said that he
well,
would
we
be
now
tortured
know
in
that
detention.
He'd be detained, right?
No, Your Honor, the government disagrees with that.
He'd be detained.
The government disagrees with that, Your Honor. One of the exhibits that was admitted was an INS Resource Information Center report at pages 355 to 61, and that report indicated that the official attitude...
Did the immigration judge refer to that? Where did he discuss the question whether he would be detained?
Your Honor, if I may give the immigration judge's decision briefly.
Thank you.
On page 12 of the opinion, he says the respondent did not present sufficient evidence to show that if he was removed to China, he would be tortured because of his alleged departure from China illegally. The immigration judge relied on the fact that he had a valid...
What about detention? You said he didn't... You said there's no evidence he'd be detained.
Well, again, his argument, the reason why he'd be detained is because he left illegally. So that does go to detention. The immigration judge is saying that he would not be detained.
Where did he say he would not be detained? I'm looking at page 12.
Again, Your Honor, the petitioner's argument for the reason why he'd be...
Where on page 12?
It's inferred, Your Honor, from the sentence that he did not present sufficient evidence that he would be tortured because...
Yes, there's a difference between being detained and being tortured, isn't there?
There is, but his sole claim is that he would be tortured in prison. That is the location where he'd be tortured.
But there are two separate questions. Would he be detained? If so, would he be tortured? Now, where did the judge make a finding about whether he would be detained at all?
Your Honor, the only reference that the government would see is that because his claim on being tortured was solely based on the fact that it would occur in detention, on page 12 when he indicates because he left China legally, he would not be subject to detention and that he would not be tortured. It's limited
But the argument is made that it's one thing to leave China legally. It's another thing to be shipped back to China under the circumstances that Mr. Pisano was describing, where it becomes abundantly clear to the Chinese government that even though you left saying you were going to visit your relatives in San Francisco for 3 weeks, you in fact had no intention of returning. Now, it seems to me that it's pretty clear that the Chinese government will figure that out under those circumstances. So, leaving legally and coming back under circumstances that perhaps bring dishonor to China are two different things.
Yes, Your Honor. And again, there, this court is reviewing whether or not the immigration judge's decision is based upon substantial evidence. And they may look at the entire record.
And if we don't know whether the immigration judge knew that evidence was there or took into account things. For all, did he ever read it? Was he aware of it? All we have to go on is what he tells us.
Yes, Your Honor. And again, he did go forward part of the testimony in the hearing, specifically what evidence had been admitted. And there's obviously a presumption of regularity that when that evidence is admitted.
Yeah, you can adopt any presumption with an opinion like this. Completely irresponsible and absurd. The notion that somehow because he didn't remember some of the airlines he flew on, that means what? That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, the basis,
the issue is what happens to him. He goes back to China, not whether he flew on Pan Am or...
Yes, Your Honor, the primary basis for the adverse credibility determination was the fact that, by his own admission, he did fabricate and lie to INS officials when he was detained by stating that he left China because he feared persecution.
No, the question is, if you look at this opinion as a whole, it has such a weak sense of relevance to it that I don't see how any presumption of anything can be indulged. It's an incompetent opinion. But what is particularly troublesome is that with regard to torture, the sole comment that he makes is that minors are not, as he puts it, are exempt from reprisal. Well, this person is not a minor, so I don't know what we're supposed to do with this opinion.
If I may conclude, Your Honor.
Sure.
Again, Your Honor, the court looks at the entire record.
No, the court looks first at the opinion of the fact finder.
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor, we would point out again, we would refer the court to the closing argument by petitioner's counsel before the immigration judge when he even stated that it was uncertain exactly what would happen to petitioner if he was returned to China. Now, his claims
of course it's not certain. The question is, in the first instance, what the immigration judge and the Bureau of Immigration Board of Immigration Appeals believes to be the likelihood of something that would be torture. And if they said it was slight risk, fine. But they can't say it's a slight risk on the basis of a factual error that he's a minor when he's not a minor.
Yes, Your Honor, but
he... How do we know what the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals would think if they were informed that he's not a minor?
Your Honor, again, the immigration judge found that he was not credible, he's lacking in credibility, and that he failed to meet the burden of proof, that he failed to establish that it'd be more likely than not. He failed to show evidence, present evidence, that he personally would be singled out for torture if he were returned to China. His claim was based on several assumptions. First, that he would be identified as someone who left China illegally.
Well, that apparently he would be.
And that he would be detained, even though he was a first-time offender, detained for a lengthy period of time. And then lastly, that he would, if he wasn't detained, that he would be subject to torture. There's no evidence that torture was pervasive and widespread, and that it was done by the Chinese government as a matter of policy, and that is the petitioner's burden to show. And the immigration judge found that he failed to establish that it would be more likely than not that he would be tortured if removed to the People's Republic of China, because the evidence fails to compel a conclusion contrary to that reached by the immigration judge. We would ask the petition for review be denied.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. O'Connor. And Mr. Fasano, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Thank you. I just want to just reply to one thing that Mr. O'Connor had pointed out. In closing, Mr. O'Connor had stated to this court that Mr. Lian had made no showing that torture is endemic and a problem throughout China, but I respectfully refer to quote to the administrative record at pages 234 to 301. I mean, how many pages is that? And it just speaks about, I quote, that...
What's the page?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Administrative record 234
yeah.
to 301 that makes the following. Quote, I quote at page 236 of the administrative record, persons acting in an official capacity who torture do so with impunity. Moreover, it says at pages 235, may I make these quotes? Thank you. It says, we provide some detail on detention under custody and repatriation. I would emphasize repatriation. Since this form of detention is entirely outside the current oversight mechanism and has previously received no attention outside of China, that's my concern. That's why I'm concerned about what's going to happen to Mr. Lian. We know, is it reasonable that he's going to be, would a reasonable person conclude that Mr. Lian is going to be repatriated with the knowledge of the Chinese government? Obviously, the answer is yes, because it has to be, his travel outside of the United States, his forced travel out of the United States, has to be done with the cooperation of the Chinese embassy to get a travel document. That answer is yes. B, how would he be treated once he's in administrative detention? According to the administrative record that I had cited, there is a very, I would say, it would be more likely than not that the conditions are going to rise to the level or create a climate and an environment where Mr. Lian is going to be tortured. And then finally, the point I wanted to make is, and it's really the most basic question we have to ask ourselves, was Judge Bravo's decision in this case supported by substantial evidence? He finds his decision on the following. As Judge Posner has pointed out, Mr. Lian's a minor, therefore minors aren't going to be tortured. Where's the evidence in the record of that? B, and I would note that the government had indicated that only returnees who have been repatriated for a second time face detention. I want to just show this to the court. In the record at page 356, and also at page 497, it states, quote, and that's in a profile, many returnees are also subject to lengthy administrative detention or re-education through labor camps. At page 497 in the record, it doesn't make a distinction between first-time offenders or second-time offenders. It says returnees. It's broad. And respectfully, you know, Judge Braho's decision regarding, you know, the credibility findings, I respectfully submit that I didn't raise this in my appeal, and Mr. Kina didn't raise it in his reply, but I think, and respectfully, the Second Circuit and Ram Samachir, I don't have the site on hand, but in February of 2004, this past February, Judge Sotomayor wrote an opinion that
what she believed that's just an objective analysis, and I know it's only persuasive here, and I could provide the site in a letter to the court after argument, but she found that it's a completely objective analysis and credibility is a non-issue, and here we can see how it would be a non-issue. I respectfully request the petition be granted.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel, and case be taken under advisement. Court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.